Out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. How long will you, who are simple, love the simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery, and fools hate knowledge? Repent at my rebuke. Then I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teachings. But since you refuse to listen when I call, and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you have disregarded all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. Since you hate knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you call for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Now we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 7, verses 24-27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, and the streams rose, and winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a mighty crash.
Alrighty, while I'm getting myself organised, we'll have a quick word from our sponsors.
Set fire to your hair, poke a stick at a grizzly bear, eat medicine that's out of date, use your private parts as piranha bait. Dumb ways to die, so many dumb ways to die. Toast out with a fork, do your own electrical work, teach yourself how to fly, eat a 2 week old unrefrigerated pie. Dumb ways to die, so many dumb ways to die. Dumb ways to die, so many dumb ways to die. Psycho killer inside, scratch a drug dealer's brand new ride, take your helmet off in outer space, use a clothes dryer as a hiding place. Dumb ways to die, so many dumb ways to die. Rattlesnake.
press this red button, do.
Dumb ways to die. So many dumb ways to die. Dumb ways to die. So many dumb ways to die.
Dress up like a moose during hunting season. Disturb a nest of wasps for no good reason. Stand on the edge of a train station platform. Drive around the boom, get at a level crossing. Run across the tracks between the platforms. They may not rhyme, but they're quite possibly. Be safe around trains. A message from Metro.
Not again. Not again. Once is enough. Alrighty. So why did they make that video? Come on, answer the question. Excellent. Sorry. There we go. The fact that they had to go to the effort of making that video and making the app and all of that suggests that there are people making very unnecessary decisions around trains and getting seriously hurt. Now, in some ways, that's actually similar to what we've just read about in Proverbs. So if you could turn back there to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 20. And you might want to open up your camp book to which page? Which page is talk to on? Page 7. I heard a 7 over there. In the passage we've just read, Solomon, the author of this book, he's urging his son not to make dumb decisions. And the way he approaches this is, first of all, he tells a story about a woman making a speech. And then in the first bit of chapter 2, he explains the take-home message for his son. Perhaps you can imagine yourself in this situation that Solomon talks about. Imagine yourself on the dusty streets of an ancient city. There's people going about their business. You have to sort of push past people in the street carrying stuff. But then a voice catches your attention. Verse 20, out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. Okay, so having someone calling out in the market would have been fairly normal in those days. That's actually how people got their news. Remember, there was no kind of daily feed on your phone. If the news was going to get out around the country, it was going to happen because the king sent announcers to all the different towns who would stand in the city square and say, "Hey, everybody, let me tell you what's going on." That's actually how God got his news to people in Old Testament times. There'd be prophets and teachers who would plonk themselves on a busy street corner and start preaching and say, "People, are you listening?" Now, what would have been unusual in this situation is that this is a woman calling out. I mean, there's plenty of prominent women in the Old Testament. But still, at that time, in that culture, a woman standing on a street corner in this role would have been odd, would have been unexpected. Now, you notice that she's making every attempt to be heard. Verse 20, where is she? She's in the public square in the middle of town, where all the people are. Verse 21, she then goes to the gateway to the city, where all the people are coming in and out. She even goes up on the city wall and calls out to people saying, hey, you guys, listen to me. What she's doing, she's going to all the different spots in the city, repeating this speech over and over again to make sure that everyone hears it. She doesn't want anyone to miss out on what she's got to say. Who is this woman? Verse 20, who is this woman? Wisdom. Well done. She represents all of those opportunities that we have to hear and to learn wisdom. How people respond to her in this story is how people respond to the opportunities for wisdom in life. She's not a real person. This is a parable. This is an illustration. The point of describing her as standing in the streets and calling out to people is to say, hey, wisdom. Wisdom's not hidden away. It's not some secret that's impossible for you to find. No, any of you can learn wisdom. Any of you can become wise. Wisdom is out there on the streets. We hear wise words all the time if only we will stop and listen. However, as we read on, we find that actually that's the problem. See, the woman's speech is a warning speech. She's saying, people, why aren't you listening? In verse 22, she identifies three kinds of people who are not listening. First of all, there's the simple person. Simple is actually where we all start. It's how we're born. We're born not really knowing how dangerous the world can be. Not knowing how to make smart decisions about the future. Now, of course, if simple people listen to the woman wisdom, then they'll become wise. But here, she says there's some people, some simple people, who actually prefer simple ways. They don't want to live in a complex world where there's consequences. They just go on living as if the world is a safe and simple place, and whatever I do, I don't expect that anything bad will ever happen to me. So for them, gaining wisdom, it's not really a priority. There's other things I'll put my focus on. The next person is the mocker. The mocker is someone who's always having a bit of a laugh. Maybe the mocker is having a bit of a laugh that there's a woman trying to tell me what to do. Humor is a good thing. I mean, God knows how to laugh. There's plenty of references to God laughing in the Bible. The problem with the mocker is that he doesn't know when to be serious. In fact, the mocker likes to laugh at serious people. You might call them squares or nerds. And I wonder if Aussie culture actually celebrates mockers. We've got this ideal Aussie bloke. Used to be called the larrikin. Now he's called the man-child. Who kind of, you know, models himself on Hamish and Andy as they travel around the country doing stupid things and laughing about it. And, yeah, there's something funny about what they do. I love, you know, I really enjoyed watching Russell Coit's Aussie Outback Adventures. But as long as we realise there's a time in life to stop the laughing and the joking and the snarking and to be sincere. There are important, serious things that matter in life, and we've actually got to have times in our life where we focus on those things. Does that make sense? If you actually live, you know, in your real life, if you actually live like Homer Simpson, then your future in work and family and a whole lot of things is going to be really tough. Okay, so we've got the simple guy, we've got the mocker, the third one in verse 22 is the fool. The fool has gone one step further. The fool's actually decided he doesn't want to learn wisdom. The fool is described in verse 32 using the word, so this is at the end of the chapter, see that word complacency. Complacency. Complacency, what does that mean? It means, yep, okay, I'm okay, thank you very much. I don't need anyone to tell me how to live. And so you've got these three kinds of people, all of them had a chance to learn wisdom and to make wise choices. But all of them have rejected it for slightly different reasons. And it is a rejection. Look at what it says in verse 24. Since you refuse to listen. Verse 25. Since you disregard all my advice. So it's not that no one ever told them how to be wise. No, the choice was right in front of them. Lady Wisdom made sure that the choice was right in front of them. But by doing nothing, by not choosing life, well, they're actually, we're going to see, going to end up in a bad way. Because look at the result in verse 26. Verse 26. Since you didn't listen, I in turn will laugh when disaster strikes you. Verse 27, when calamity overtakes you like a storm. See, sooner or later in life, there will be the storm. There will be those tough times where everything seems to be going wrong. And Lady Wisdom says that's the time where foolish choices will catch up with you. I can think back to some of my dear friends from teenage years who made really unwise decisions about drugs. And at first, there didn't seem to be any consequence, but sooner or later, there were. There were jobs lost. There was mental health seriously impacted. I can think back to dear friends who made really unwise choices in relationships. And at first, it all seemed to be really good, but in so many cases, I can think of friends' unplanned pregnancy. Year 9, I remember, girl from a Christian home got pregnant, and that changed so many things about her life ever since. I can think of painful breakups. I can think of unhappy marriages. I can think of friends from teenage years who were talented, so talented, talented in music, talented in business, but who chased success. Success, 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 chased it so hard that Christian community and the things of Jesus just slowly got squeezed out. And that didn't actually, this chase for success didn't make them happy in the end. Actually, they got to a place where they were really confused and lonely. Verse 28. Look at verse 28. When I first read that, it bothered me a bit. Verse 28. Then, you know, when the storm comes, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. I read that and I thought, wait a minute, that can't be right. Because God is gracious. God is gracious to sinners. God doesn't delight in the death of the wicked. It's never too late to come back to God. All those things are true. But then I realized I'm not quite reading this properly. Because who's talking here? Yeah, it's not God talking. It's the Lady Wisdom who's talking. And actually, this whole chapter, first and foremost, it's not a chapter about whether people go to heaven or not. It's actually, first and foremost, about how things are going to turn out for you in this life. And the message of this chapter is, you know what? Like it or not, there are consequences in this life. As Christians, we have a hope. We have an amazing hope that one day Jesus is coming back and he's going to fix all the mess. He's going to bring a new heavens and a new earth. That's amazing. But while we're here in this life, we have to live with the consequences of our decisions. As a church pastor, I have all sorts of interesting people who knock on my door. I meet people just out of prison, can't get jobs, can't get accommodation. I meet people who can't see their kids because of domestic violence and substance abuse. And like, my heart goes out to these people, and I help them however I can. And I wish, as I'm talking to them, I wish I could just snap my fingers and just rewind everything and just make all of their troubles go away. But I can't do that. They can't do that. That's not how real life works. There's no rewind button. And that's what verse 28's about. Verse 31 says, actually, if our choices catch up with us, we can't go blaming other people for the choices that we made. She says about these people, they will eat the fruit of their ways. And so this is a very serious warning that Lady Wisdom is giving to you. So please listen, please take responsibility for the decisions that you make in life. Please do that, because I don't want to see you guys getting hurt. The video is quite true when it said there are so many dumb ways to die. But thankfully, there are also wise ways to live. That's the take-home message that the wise father reinforces for his son in chapter 2. He says, son, you actually have a chance to live a good life if you accept my words. If you look for wisdom and understanding, in verse 4, if you look for wisdom and understanding like you're looking for silver, like you're looking for a hidden treasure. Actually, if you're filling the gaps, it makes sense to search for wisdom like it's actually two words, hidden treasure. In America, there is an 87-year-old millionaire named Forrest Fenn. And sometime before 2010, does anyone know about this guy? He hid a treasure chest filled with $2 million worth of gold somewhere in the Rocky Mountains. And he actually released a poem with 9 clues about the location. They can't have been very clear clues, because apparently more than 350,000 people have gone looking for this treasure chest. No one's found it yet. 4 people have died in the search. And so how do you look for hidden treasure? Very seriously. Now, here's the interesting thing. Okay, so we're in chapter 2, verse 4. Wisdom is doing what she can to find you, and yet you're not just supposed to sit back and wait for wisdom to tell everything you need to know. Actually, wisdom is so important to get. Wisdom to make the right decisions in life is so important that you should go searching for it, like you're searching for a hidden treasure. And the encouragement here is that if we are seeking for godly wisdom, we will find it. because God is a generous giver of wisdom. For verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So where does wisdom come from? His mouth. His word. We can also ask God for wisdom as we pray. You'll be reading this later on in your quiet time. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. And so if you're filling the gaps, what does GG stand for? Well done. See, Solomon wants his son to see that this approach to life is an approach that actually makes sense. You read on in the book of Proverbs, you'll find that Proverbs addresses a whole lot of very practical life issues. It talks about how we speak, work and laziness, sex and marriage and family and friendship and plans and all of these things. But before we get into that, we have to decide, do we really want to hear them? Do we really want to hear what God has to say about all these things? Do we really want to make wise decisions about these things? In one sense, a lot of what you find in Proverbs is just common sense. You know, common sense with a godly direction. But look at the world we live in today. We humans don't always live in a way that makes sense. I mean, why would someone decide to put needles in strawberries? Does not make sense. It's never going to end well for them or for anybody else. Why do people drive 180 k's an hour on the freeway and risk their life, risk other people's life for the sake of a 2-minute adrenaline rush, which is then gone? Does not make sense. Why do people decide in a moment of passion to give away their virginity to someone who isn't committed to loving them and staying with them? Does that really make sense? I think in a lot of cases it comes down to this. Why do people make decisions that in the end don't make sense? It's because people don't see that the wise life is actually the best life. This is where we're getting to. People don't see God's ways as good ways. Because people don't see God as good. Do you see God as good? Like, you could think of God in different... You could think of, well, God's just a bit of a, you know, a bit of a party pooper, a bit of someone who wants to spoil my fun, but I guess I'll follow his rules so that, you know, I don't want to be judged or anything. You could think of it like that, but in the end, you might be tempted to look out there and go, nah, maybe there's something else that's really the good life. Or you can see God as good. God is good. It's good to know him. There is no one more beautiful, more amazing, more fascinating than our holy and righteous and loving God. Okay, see God for who he really is, and then you'll go, whatever his ways are, they are the best ways. He offers so much more than anything else that might give me that short little high. We're living in a society where we've never had it better in terms of money, in terms of technology, all that kind of stuff. And yet we're living in a society where people are destroying their own lives. A society which is destroying itself because people are in search of that experience which is there and then it's gone. I once went for a walk around the streets of Reservoir, with a guy from a Christian home who had become addicted to drugs. His habit was destroying his family. They were at the point where they're about to be evicted from their house, and we went for just a long walk and talked, and you know, how are you gonna get off this? How are you gonna be able to say no to this addiction? What changes are you gonna make? Rah 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 rah. And we just weren't getting anywhere. In the end, I said to him, "Hang on a minute, which way do you want to live? Do you want to live God's way, or do you want to live the devil's way?" And he said to me, these were his words, he said, "You know what, I prefer the devil, he gives me what I want." You see, he couldn't accept that God is really good. If you're convinced that God loves you, that God loves you with a self-giving, self-sacrificial love that caused him to send his son Jesus to die for you, well, then you'll accept that his wisdom's good, that his wisdom is worth searching for. So guys and girls, please, this is this morning's talk. Please choose the good life. Please search for God's good wisdom. Don't let other things get in the way of that. Don't let busyness get in the way of the search for God's good wisdom. Don't let laziness get in the way. Don't let your pride get in the way. Don't let discouragement get in the way. Don't think, "Oh, I'm just not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I could never get there." No, it's worth searching for like a hidden treasure. Do you remember yesterday, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7? The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, though it cost all you have, get understanding. So as I wrap up, let me say one more thing. See, I'm sure that as you read this, as I read this, I can't help but reflect on my own moments of foolishness and the consequences that come from it over the years. I think it's important that as we remember our failings, our tendency to search after other things than God who is good, we need to zoom out from this chapter and see the bigger picture. Because in Proverbs, wisdom is this imaginary woman, she is an illustration. But the real wisdom of God, the ultimate wisdom of God, has come to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Did you notice in that reading in Matthew how Jesus presented himself as a teacher of wisdom? You know, he said, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." And it's a house that weathers the storm. See, it all falls apart when the storm comes here. But you follow Jesus. You take on his words, put them into practice in your life. This will weather the storm. And of course, Jesus promises go beyond just this life here and now. Because in his wisdom, Jesus gave his life for fools like us by dying on a cross. And when Jesus was raised from the dead 3 days later, he gave us a hope that goes into eternity. He gave us a hope of resurrection life. He gave us a hope of a world where foolishness and all its consequences will be wiped away. That's a good hope, isn't it? That's an amazingly good hope. Imagine living in a world without foolishness and its consequences. He's a good God, and his wisdom is good for us. There is nothing wiser than choosing eternal life with Jesus. I did say that there's no rewind button in life. But you could say that there is a reset button. What I mean is that by God's grace, through Jesus, he has opened up a way for you and I to begin a new life. It's a new life that comes in its fullest sense when Jesus returns and brings us into his new creation. But it's a new life which begins in heaven and in your heart today if you will trust in him. And that's what Shady is going to come and talk to us about now.